This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
The Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
All right, glad you're here today. Thanks for being here. Very, very appreciated. I'm excited to welcome to the program today one of the last true fighters of liberty and freedom in the House of Representatives. He represents the 4th District in Kentucky, Congressman Tom Massey. Congressman, welcome to Philadelphia.
Hey, thanks for being on in Philadelphia.
Well, you know, I follow you on Twitter. You do great stuff, and there's a lot of things I want to ask you. First, I want to mention, though, you fight for liberty and the Republican Liberty Caucus. Yep. Justin Amash, a couple of other guys, you do great work there.
Thank you so much. Yeah, and I'm glad you follow my Twitter. By the way, my signature hashtag is Sassy with Massey.
That's a good one. I like that.
We try to inject some humor. If you can't say something nice, at least be funny.
Now, you're a staunch defender of the Second Amendment, as I am. And Congressman Massey, you know, I'm particularly concerned about the Justice Department coming out with this bump stock ban. To me, it's an unconstitutional overreach by the executive branch.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm the chairman of the Second Amendment Caucus in the House of Representatives. It had gone sort of dormant, and I picked up the torch and started the Second Amendment Caucus back up. I'm concerned about this ban, the bump stock ban, for a few reasons. But let me start off by saying, I don't have a bump stock. I wouldn't have one if you gave it to me. They waste ammunition, and they're not very accurate. But I am disturbed by the process that the president has proposed to ban bump stocks. He's trying to redefine the word machine gun. And the ATF under Obama already ruled that these do not qualify as machine guns under the definition that was written by Congress. So he's stretching the definition. And before I came on the air, I just looked at the proposed ban again, and they are going to require, this is disturbing to me, that you destroy bump stock if you have it in your possession or turn it back in. We've never, as far as I can remember, had a gun ban where you actually had to give up the gun. They always grandfather them in some way, shape, or form. Maybe, more severe registration. But this ban, they say you've got to destroy them. I'm sure a lot of them are going to get buried in the garden.
Yeah, and then of course you turn people into felons,
right?
if they don't turn them in. So
that's right. Maybe they're in the attic. Maybe it's in the basement. Maybe it's in the gun cabinet. Maybe there may be people that don't even, somebody passed away and left one in the house. Now you've created felons.
And I saw an interview you did with Conservative Review, Congressman Massey, and you made the point that you can go to Home Depot and buy things that you can modify. You don't even need a quote unquote bump stock to do this.
Oh, yeah. Well, and when the president says, and by the way, I support the president, but when he's wrong, and I'm going to let folks know that. But he said he wants to ban anything that can be used to make a semi-automatic firearm, like a fully automatic firearm. Well, I don't want to go on the air on the radio and describe how you do this, but I know at least a dozen different ways to take a semi-automatic firearm, go to Home Depot, and pick up some easily available items and convert it into something that shoots much quicker and automatically. It's sort of a futile effort. I think he's doing it to be doing something. And here's another thing that disturbs me. We as congressmen got classified briefings on the Pulse nightclub shooting. We had a classified briefing on the shooting in San Bernardino. We've never had a briefing on this Vegas shooting. I asked the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, which, if this were to go through Congress, if a bump stock ban were to go through Congress, it would go through the Judiciary Committee. I said, has the FBI given you a list of the weapons? Do you know for sure there wasn't actually a legitimately fully automatic weapon in the inventory there? And he said, no, we didn't think to ask that.
Wow. That's incredibly troubling. Incredibly troubling.
So we need more facts. We need the facts.
Yeah.
And I think it sets a bad precedent to have a Republican president do this without being called out by the Republican House and the Republican Senate, for him to go out and take reverse an Obama ruling. By the way, the president said that Obama made bump stocks legal. Obama didn't make bump stocks legal. Obama acknowledged that he had no statutory basis to make them illegal.
No, I agree with you, and I'm proud of you, Congressman Tom Massey, for speaking out against this, because conservatives, libertarians, you have to speak out whether you support the president or not. And I support him, too, but I'm like you. When he's right, he's right. When he's wrong, he's wrong. And so the other problem with this, too, is that the wording by Attorney General Jeff Sessions, where the shooter is basically part of it. In my mind, that means that basically your finger and the trigger down the road, I can imagine some leftist judge saying that anything that can fire, because most guns can be semi-automatic. And that, I think that's how they'll use that. They'll use that wording to say these guns need to be banned too under that language.
Yeah, because look, if YouTube hasn't taken them down yet, there are videos of people bump firing their weapons by just putting their finger on the trigger and holding the weapon loosely with their thumb in a belt loop. And so by, shooting from the hip, you can bump fire a semi-automatic weapon using just the energy of the recoil of the gun, having it bounce on your finger if you keep your hand still using the belt loop on your pants. So I guess we got to ban belt loops now. But like you said, what they'll do, they'll just ban semi-automatic firearms. They'll say, well, they're all convertible to fully automatic.
Exactly. That's what I'm really, really concerned about. Congressman Tom Massey's here. He's chair of the Second Amendment Caucus in the House of Representatives. He represents Kentucky's 4th Congressional District since 2012. And I'm not going to, by the way, you're a bourbon guy. I'm a bourbon guy. I'm with you. Bourbon has to be from Kentucky. There's no, right. I agree with that.
95% of bourbon is distilled in Kentucky, and the other 5% is counterfeit. Don't forget that.
Let's talk about the omnibus bill, because you were right about this again. You and Justin Amash and the Senate side, Senator Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, a couple other guys, Mike Lee. There doesn't seem to be enough of real, true conservative liberty freedom fighters anymore. I mean, you guys are in the minority in the Republican Party.
It is tough. I mean, we take a beating up there. They waive all of the procedural rules that would be available to us to fight these things. They just take away every sharp object in the drawer, and then we're left, trying to debate these things, trying to get some kind of airtime to bring these issues to light. I have resolved that my job in Congress now is to pull back the curtain and shine the light where they don't want the light shined. That doesn't make you a very popular person in Congress, but that's why I'm going on your radio show right now to talk about the problems we've got up there and how good guys get to Congress and then they end up getting, tricked, fooled, duped into voting for things like the omnibus.
And Paul Ryan seems to me, Congressman, to be a big part of the problem here. And you pointed out the Rules Committee and how this has all worked out. This kind of behind-the-scenes nonsense with the amendments. Can you explain a little bit of that to us?
Oh, I would love to, because that's where things are so messed up. A lot of folks at home don't realize there's almost always two votes on the bill in the House. There's the final passage, but a couple hours or maybe a day before final passage of the bill, there's a vote on what the rules will be for debating and amending that bill. And the rules come from the Rules Committee. Now, we've got a rule book. It's about 3 inches thick, and you could memorize it, and you would think if you knew everything in the rule book, you could go down there and debate things and be very effective on the floor. But what they do before we bring every bill to the floor, they have a vote called the rule vote that suspends the rule book and replaces it with about 2 pages of text that come out of the Rules Committee. And the Rules Committee, the nickname for the Rules Committee is the Speaker's Committee, because everybody on there is controlled by the Speaker. Everything that happens in there only happens because the Speaker wants it to happen. And so by controlling the process, for instance, on this omnibus bill, they introduced the bill at 8 p.m. on a Wednesday. By 10 p.m., we had to get to the Rules Committee and offer our amendments, the amendments that we wanted the Rules Committee to let us have a debate and a vote on the floor for. And by the way, some of these amendments, some of my colleagues offer amendments to defund Planned Parenthood. Some offered an amendment to defund sanctuary cities. I offered an amendment to strike the gun control portion of the bill, the fix NICS portion of the bill. And we only had 2 hours to offer those amendments, but through heroic efforts of our staff and our colleagues, we got those in, and then the Rules Committee voted and said, you know what, we've decided we're not going to let anybody have a debate or a vote on any amendment to this bill, and then that has to be voted on. Their decision has to be voted on by every member of Congress. And that's where we get screwed, pardon my language, every single time, because the Speaker and the other members of leadership tell all these congressmen when they get there, their first day, don't you ever vote against the Rules Committee. Don't you ever vote against this special rule that we're bringing to the floor. But what that special rule does is it takes away all your rights as a member of Congress. It lets them vote on a bill the same day they introduced it. We've got a rule that says we're supposed to get 3 days to read a bill. But they can break the rule because every member of Congress, not every member, but at least 218 voted to let them break the rule. That's where you get hornswoggled.
So these amendments that you talk about, Congressman Tom Massey, to defund Planned Parenthood, defund sanctuary cities, get rid of all the wacky gun restrictions in the bill, they all just, they're dead. They die. They die a very, very quick death.
They died in the Rules Committee, and the Rules Committee said, you know what, nope, we're going to put a resolution on the floor that says none of your amendments are in order, and we're going to strip them all out. And this is what blows my mind, Rich, is the members of Congress, they go home and complain they only had 12 hours to read the bill. They go home and complain that the process is messed up, but they took this vote to endorse the messed up process. They took the vote that stripped all the amendment debate from the bill. They took that vote, and they're hiding from it. Some, what constituents need to do, and I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, they need to go up to their congressman the next time they see him and say, did you vote for the rule vote? Did you vote for the thing that stripped all the amendment debate? Did you vote for that the thing that took away all your power? And if you did, why did you do it?
It's a great question. You are going to get in trouble, Congressman Massey, but that's okay because, you know, you got to shake the trees a little bit here. And you do that as you fight for liberty. Are you officially a member of the Liberty Caucus?
I'm in the Liberty Caucus. I am not in the Freedom Caucus. There's an interesting distinction there. The Freedom Caucus is a voting block of it's about 39 members. They told me they wanted 40. And that they needed 40 to lock arms and go to the floor and do the right thing. I said, well, if that's what you mean to do, you only need 39. I'll already be on the floor doing the right thing. You guys go have a meeting, and then you can come and join me.
Right.
And so, but the Liberty Caucus, we, unlike the Freedom Caucus, we work on issues of privacy. We don't like the government spying on you. And whereas the Freedom Caucus wouldn't get involved in perhaps in trying to stop the 18th year of the war in Afghanistan, we would do that in the Liberty Caucus. Do you realize next year we're going to have soldiers deploy to Afghanistan who were born after the war started?
That's amazing. And still Congress has not passed an authorization since 2011. 2001. That's remarkable to me. I mean, talk about Congress just giving, you know, abdicating its power here completely. It's remarkable. But it doesn't sound to me like the House of Representatives is really interested in doing the right thing on these matters. So if Paul Ryan leaves, as the rumor is that he may step down as Speaker, there might be a new opening. Is it just going to be another Paul Ryan who gets in there, or is there going to be kind of an uprising here?
Well, we tried 3 times to get rid of John Boehner, and the 3rd time we were successful. That was like probably the brightest day of my time in Congress was the day he announced he was leaving under pressure. And then the worst day of my day in Congress was when my colleagues turned around and elected Paul Ryan, because I knew, even though he promised he would be different, I knew he would do the same things because he always voted with Boehner. And so what I would say to your listeners out there is when it comes time for their congressman to pick the next speaker, insist that they pick somebody who didn't vote for this omnibus. Like, my point, and I tweeted this, is if somebody followed our leadership over the cliff on this omnibus bill, then that person is not qualified to lead us around the next cliff. And so, that's 147 Republicans have disqualified themselves from being the next speaker, in my opinion, because that's how many voted for the omnibus.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. Listen, I keep up a good fight. Tom Massey, Congressman Tom Massey on Twitter, at Rep. Thomas Massey. And you're a young guy. I mean, you know, you graduated MIT, what, 93? So
yeah, I'm 47. People ask me if I'm going to hang in there. I say I'm going to hang in here like a hare in a biscuit.
Yeah, I have no idea what that means. That's a Southern term, clearly, but I would hope there's never a hair on my biscuits. That's all I could say.
You can imagine it'd be hard to get out.
One would think. Congressman Tom Massey, the chairman of the Second Amendment Caucus and a member of the House Liberty Caucus. Appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you very much, Rich.
Rich Cioli, 3-6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.